Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana is pleased to present to you the marrow of the message. We continue our series in 1 Samuel by taking a break. We're at the end of the first major section of 1 Samuel, and we're preparing to launch into the kingly section of 1 Samuel as we go into chapter 8 next week. But there was a doctrine that just leaped off the page to me in chapter 7 that I think is worth looking at because it drips with the gospel. It's a portrayal of, through Samuel's life and ministry, a portrayal of, or a type of, ministry of Messiah who had come. In chapter 7, now keep in mind, it's that great chapter where we see God's sovereign mercy, where he grants grace unto the Israelites for repentance, and you can listen to that message on our website, 1 Samuel chapter 7. The title of that message was Sovereign Mercy. But listen, the people of Israel had repented. They had put away their idols. In chapter 7, verse 5, Samuel had called the people to assemble at Mizpah. And he says, I will intercede with the Lord for you. So that's a key word right there, intercessor, intercede. He was going to intercede with the Lord for you. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. And when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was judged Israel at Mizpah. In other words, if you remember right, Samuel made it clear. He assured them that their sins were forgiven. That their confession was acceptable before the Lord, but it was that Samuel had interceded before the Lord for them. In verse 7, we learn that the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah. The rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them, and when the Israelites heard it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, so that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." This is such an important text of Scripture, I think, because we see a key word early on in verse 5. Samuel says, I will intercede. And in verse 8, they cry out to the Lord, to Samuel, don't stop crying out to the Lord. In other words, don't stop mediating between us and God. And it also says, then that Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering before the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. So we see there is an aspect of Samuel's work. He is prophet, to be sure, and that he has been the prophet through Israel, speaking the word of God. But we get a sense that he also functioned in the role of a priest. And I think this is key for us to understand that it is a picture of Christ who is prophet, priest, and as we're going to find out, he is also king. We see this revealed in Scripture. But this doctrine of the mediator, Christ being the mediator, is essential for us as Christians. We don't have Christianity without the idea of a mediator. And the people of Israel capture it perfectly, or the God's word captures it perfectly. They cry out, intercede for us. Cry out to the Lord on our behalf. And indeed, that's what he does. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we're told who this mediator is, the mediator, the ultimate perfect mediator. The Scripture says this, for as there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. Why I'm drawn to this is because I think it's essential as we look at the Scriptures that we see Christ walk off the pages of the Old Testament right into the New. He becomes a fulfillment of everything promised regarding him in the Old Testament. He becomes the fulfillment of those promises. Now, we can't say it enough. The problem that Israel had was they had sinned, and now as they gathered in repentance before the Lord, they had an enemy that sought to dispirit them, sought to discourage them and cause them not to trust in God. But this time, Israel fled to God for deliverance, and there Samuel interceded, offered sacrifices, and here's the bottom line. Because of the intercessor, we see Israel saved. They leaned on Samuel. They leaned on him. Up until this point, Israel had a habit of leaning upon themselves. But when they trusted God, and when they turned to him as God granted repentance, and they leaned upon Samuel, the Lord delivered them. And so we see in the perfect way, in the same way, but a perfect way, our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, God's great high priest, interceded by offering himself as our sacrifice. And because of this, we are saved. In other words, we're justified. And this is essential Christian doctrine. It is for our edification that we see he interceded for us, and because of this, we are saved. So let's look at this teaching of the Bible gives us on the intercession or the mediation of Jesus Christ. Christ is our mediator before God. It's one of the key doctrine in Scripture regarding Christ, his priesthood. We see this priesthood of Christ developed, especially in Hebrews. You can read that for yourself. It's in detail there. But a priest in the Old Testament was a man who was appointed to act on behalf of others in things pertaining to God. This was the work of the priest. This was his thing to do. He was to mediate by offering a sacrifice, stand between the people and God, offering sacrifice. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we see that he himself was one who interceded, but also then offered himself as a sacrifice. If we look at Samuel, we see that Samuel prayed, interceded, and he offered a sacrifice. But the good news is that in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is both our representative and our sacrifice. He's our mediator and our sacrifice. It's something that no ordinary human being could do, but only God the Son of God, the Son of Man. Christ's work is superior. And if we ever think that he was just an ordinary man and his priesthood was simply common or profane, we will miss the gospel of God and the person of Jesus Christ. To begin with, in the Old Testament system, the priest of Israel had to offer a sacrifice for the people, to be sure, but also a sacrifice for themselves. We see that this happened on the Day of Atonement, and it was the holiest day of the year. They went into the holy place, the most holy place, and they offered a sacrifice for their own sin and that of their household and then of all Israel. But we learn of the Lord Jesus Christ that he himself was a sacrifice, but not offering for himself, but for his people. And that would mean on behalf of you, on my behalf, and on your behalf. The sacrifice of Jesus was by him, Christ, who was perfect, and there was no need for him to offer substitution for himself. The second thing that he did, and the fact that he was perfect, and as the priest and perfect as a sacrifice, is that the sacrifice itself was completely acceptable to God. Without this, there would be no atonement. There would be no propitiation. It was because of his perfect sacrifice that the wrath of God was turned away and justice, God's justice, was satisfied. The blood of bulls and goats can't do it. When Samuel offered the suckling lamb, that literally couldn't remove the guilt of sin, but it was the acceptable sacrifice at the time, pointing us to Christ. And so this is essential for us when we see the Old Testament, to see there are pictures pointing us to the coming of the Christ. Now we look back and of course we see that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all Old Testament promises regarding this sacrifice of atonement. And I think it's something beautiful for us because Israel fled to God for deliverance, for their salvation. We flee to Christ and Christ alone. They had to look forward to him through faith. We look back in faith to Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for us in our place. Jesus then, as sacrifice, satisfies God's justice, turns away his wrath. But we have to remember, too, Jesus also stands to intercede just as Samuel did. We can't miss this because Samuel prayed to the Lord and the Lord answered. The Lord delivered them from the hand of the Philistines. So his priestly role as mediator, not only as sacrifice, he mediates through sacrifice, but he intercedes for us now. That is, he prays for us. Now, I love what James Boyce says. He says, this is not a supplemental work adding to his sacrifice of himself on the cross, but rather a consequential work based upon his sacrifice of himself on the cross. And then he uses several examples that I think I'm going to look at. I think it's helpful for me, and I hope it'll be helpful for you. But we see Christ interceding. For instance, Jesus intercedes for Peter. And we know from in Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, Satan has asked, he's talking to Peter, he says, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. So Jesus prayed for Peter, asking that the experience that he was about to endure of this sifting, when Satan would try to sift him as wheat, would prove to strengthen him rather than devastate him. As Satan asked that he would burn him and cause him to become as nothing and become discouraged, and that he had demanded, actually, this is what it says, Satan demanded to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. Oh, but how comforting it is to know that it's the Lord Jesus himself who interceded. So we know how the story goes. Christ interceded for him, and in the long run, we see that Peter wasn't sifted to the point of devastation, because later, even though Peter denied Christ three times, he came back. He came back in repentance. He had remorse. He was weeping bitterly, but he humbled himself before the Lord. The Lord used this experience to greatly humble him. And, of course, Peter became one of the most important apostles, one of the most important ministers of the gospel. Boyce also points us to another New Testament example of Christ's intercession. We couldn't speak about this if we didn't look at John chapter 17. He points out that Jesus doesn't pray that his disciples might be made rich in this world or be brought to a position of respect or power in the Roman Empire or even be spared by persecution or of persecution and of suffering because they were Christians. And how often we pray, oh God, spare us from suffering, spare us from pain, give us favor that we might amount to something in this world. Jesus didn't intercede for them in that way. His prayer is that they might be made the kind of men and women that God would want them to be. That is, men and women with the marks of the church, marks of Christ on them, that they would evidently be joyful, that they would evidently be a holy people, that they would evidently stand for truth, that their mission would be clear and known to the world, that there would be unity and love. And this is a result of Christ's intercession. He prayed that prayer in John chapter 17, and we see the fruit of it yet to this day. The message we should get from this is he is an unfailing mediator. He doesn't fail in his intercession for us. His prayers are powerful, and they still prevail. I think this should encourage us greatly, especially as we look at 1 Samuel and we can see, you know, what would, maybe we read it and we, oh, that's nice, Samuel prayed for them. He did what he was supposed to do, offering sacrifice. But there's such a picture here that if we would gloss over it, we would sure miss something so beautiful. We see that it's Samuel who was providing for Israel's stability. They came to him in their time of need. They came to him in their distress. And they sought Samuel to intercede for them. And Samuel did do that. And they were comforted. And it's a comfort that gives courage. Because as we look at this, we see as he offered sacrifice, God delivered him. Listen how it describes it in 1 Samuel chapter 10. That day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw the Philistines into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the to a point below Beth Kar. It was a comfort that Samuel gave them, that gave them courage. The Lord gave them victory, and they were courageous in that they carried out the work that they had to do. And we know from the scripture that the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ is to give us courage. The scripture describes the work of the mediator as one who would give courage. I think it's worth turning in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And we see about this comfort, this mediation that takes place in the effect of it, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is described as our comforter and our strength. 1 John 2, 1. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you that so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." He speaks for us. He's our advocate. He is our counselor. These words are used of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ at work in the world through the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. As Jesus described him as another counselor, as our advocate. And this is for our help. We know the word, most of us are familiar with the word paraclete, one who comes alongside, one who comes alongside of, walks with, alongside, called to walk with us. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit at the Lord Jesus's, as at his command. So the beauty of this is that we have one who intercedes, who stands as our advocate, our counselor, our comforter, comfort that gives courage. And this is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given us his Holy Spirit to carry out his perfect plan and purpose as intercessor in this world for his people today. It is the Holy Spirit who is at work in us and in the church here, and the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes in heaven. I'm going to read something else that old Dr. Boyce wrote. It was so helpful to me, and I hope it will be to you as well. He says, "The picture then is of something we might call a heavenly law firm with us as clients. It has a heavenly branch presided over by the Lord Jesus Christ and an earthly branch directed by the Holy Spirit. Each of them pleads for us. It's the Spirit's role to move us to pray and to intensify that prayer to a point of which we ourselves are not capable." Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." That's Romans 8:26. "Similarly, it is the ministry of the Lord in heaven to interpret our prayers aright and to plead the efficacy of his sacrifice on the basis of our coming to God." So we have the Holy Spirit working in us here while we're on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. He is interceding for us as well. Can you imagine? Why do we so often think we're so weak and we don't lean upon the Lord as we ought to? The Israelites shame us in this. They ran to Samuel and they leaned upon him and they were delivered. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, the Spirit working through the church and working through the Word here on earth, and the Lord Jesus Christ interceding in heaven. Why are we defeated? Listen to what Boyce continues to write. "The consequence of this is that we can have great boldness in prayer. How could we ever have boldness if the answering of our prayers depended either upon the strength with which we pray or upon the correctness of the petitions themselves? Our prayers are weak, as Paul confesses, and we often pray wrongly. But we are bold nevertheless, for we have the Holy Spirit to strengthen the requests and the Lord Jesus Christ to interpret them rightly." This is magnificent. Get this, because we have in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, Samuel interceding, Samuel offering sacrifice, but we have in Christ Jesus the perfect intercessor, the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. And think of this, when we cry out to the Lord, even no matter how sincere we may be, it is, as Matthew Henry said, there's enough sin in our prayers before our feet hit the floor to damn 10,000 souls. But if we get this, if we understand the power of our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Holy Spirit He has given us, we will recognize that it is the Spirit of God who strengthens our request. We so often will pray so weakly because we are weak in unbelief. But even in our unbelief and our lack of faith, if by faith we'll take hold of this, that the Holy Spirit strengthens our requests and the Lord Jesus Christ interprets them rightly, we will be comforted, we will be strengthened, we will have courage to follow Him and to obey Him and believe Him. This is why the Old Testament is so important for us, because as we see history unfold through a people that trusted in this case, Samuel, who was God's prophet and this time priest and intercessor, they were emboldened. Now we look in chapter 8 and we'll see, and this is coming up this week, 1 Samuel chapter 8, where they demand a substitute for God, a substitute, an unholy substitute, a king of their choosing rather than a king of God's choosing. We'll talk more about this, but the issue at hand is the issue of substitution. We're tempted to make substitutions in our own life, and we're going to see, be challenged in this, but I want us to think about this as we come into chapter 8, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's perfect substitute. He is the man of God's choosing. He is the God-man. No one could absorb the wrath of God and satisfy His wrath and satisfy His justice except the God-man. No one but God could absorb it and to satisfy God. But it was man who sinned, and it was man who had to pay. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, God's substitute, stands in our place, condemned, that we might be justified through faith in His blood. We'll talk some about this in chapter 8, but I think the picture we get in these chapters is that Jesus Christ is fully sufficient to help us in our time of need. As mediator and intercessor, He is our God. Oh, don't weaken in your faith today. I pray that you'll be drawn to Him. And if you have a whimper of faith, that you'll cry out to heaven through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Believing this, the Holy Spirit strengthens that request you make, and the Lord Jesus Christ interprets it correctly for His glory and for your good. May the Lord bless you and keep you.